Holy Father, thank you for your great love. Thank you for the preciousness of Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Truly, the hymn writer Newton put it so well, "One there is above all other." Christ is indeed the apex of it all. And if we have not Jesus Christ, we have nothing. If we're not in Him, we do not know Him. We have nothing but a bunch of stuff of this world's possessions that will burn up someday. As we know that storms, earthquakes, and various things happen and leaves many with everything gone. Cherished possessions, never to be returned. But there is an inheritance. There is one that shall never be lost. And that is that of the Lord Jesus Christ, a precious treasure indeed. And when He begins a work within an individual, He shall perform that until His day. When He shall return, there will be many giving lip service to His resurrection this day. I pray that ours is more than a lip service. He did arise. He is alive. And He shall return to this earth. And as Job said of long ago, "Mine eyes shall see Him for myself. And every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess. And if they do not now, they shall then, that He is Lord." We thank You for this day, and we thank You for that day. We ask, O God, as we look into the Holy Scriptures, that You would bless the Word to be broken, as our Lord broke the bread by the Sea of Galilee. And we pray that souls will be fed from the bread of heaven Himself. And we ask it in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you have your Bible, you may turn back to 1 Peter chapter 2, from whence we did our scripture reading this morning. And I want to reread verses 1 through 10. But we're going to focus somewhat upon those verses that speak of the preciousness of Christ. That's what we want to speak about this day. Next Lord's Day afternoon, we will have our Lord's Supper. And therefore, I would like for us to have Christ in view, as we should have each day anyway. Wherefore, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore, also it is contained in the Scriptures, "Behold, I lay in Sion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." Jesus Christ is precious. Jesus Christ is precious. He's precious to God. He's precious in himself. And he is precious to the believer. He is precious to the believer. The Scripture says so. We live in a society where a lot of people hold a lot of different things precious. A lot of different things precious. But I'm here to tell you that there is nothing in this life that will give you the preciousness and the contented preciousness as that of Christ Jesus. As that of Christ Jesus. Brother Jeff's uncle, one of his uncles who lives in Murfreesboro, when the tornado went through the other day, destroyed their home. And the lady had a lot of precious glassware collection. Precious. 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 Brother Jeff said, "You could hardly find a piece any bigger than that." Gone in a moment. Gone in a moment. But I'm here to tell you that Christ is precious both now and forever and shall never diminish. Amen. Shall never diminish. Man devotes a lot of time and a lot of energy to things which he considers to be precious. He devotes it to his wealth. And this year alone, not only in our country but other countries abroad, people's savings have been lost to such a diminishing part that it will never be returned in their lifetime. Those who have invested in the kingdom of God have put their treasure in places that will return dividends that are immeasurable. The financial security can be lost in a moment. Lost in a moment. It never provides security. I've never read, nor have I ever heard of or met of anyone who was rich that said they had enough. They always wanted more. They always wanted more. They didn't have enough riches. They wanted more. But I'm here to say that if you have Christ, you have all that the heart can contend. You have all that you can want. Entertainment. People put a lot of emphasis on entertainment. They want to go. They want to do. They want to see exciting things. remember that it was in Vanity Fair, for those of you that are familiar with John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, it is in Vanity Fair where Faithful lost his life. And the vanities of the entertainments of this world will destroy any man's faith. Sports, world around. People put a lot of emphasis on the sports. But that's not precious either. Nor the family, nor self. And the list could go on of people that they think is precious to them. But to the believer, to the individual who is a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, one thing is precious, and that's Christ Himself. Amen. He is precious to the believer. That's what it said in verse 7. Unto you therefore which believe, He is precious. The Scripture did not say that He should be precious. He should be. The Scripture does not say that He might be precious. The Scripture says to the believer, Jesus Christ is precious. I ask you, in all honesty and in all sincerity, is Christ precious to you this day? If not, seek Him. Now, much could be said about the fact that to the disobedient, to he who refuses to submit to Christ, that He is not precious. The Scripture says that. That to those who are disobedient, He is not precious. They will be crushed by Him in the final analysis. They will be confounded. But I do not want to dwell upon that this day. I do not want to talk about those who shall be confounded. I want to talk about the preciousness of Christ. Christ is likened to a huge, priceless stone. Now, I haven't been blessed with a lot of this world's goods that I could buy huge stones. I have seen the Koh-i-Noor diamond in the crown jewels of England, and that was a pretty big diamond. Seemed like it was something like that. And it's not the biggest one, they tell us. But Christ is likened to a precious stone, and He is far more precious than the Koh-i-Noor diamond. He is far more precious than anything that you could receive. A young lady who receives a stone, it might not be so large, but if it's a large stone from the apple of her eye, she considers it to be precious. Well, I'm talking about the apple of the eye of the believer. And He is precious. He's also honorable. He's also honorable. The word can be translated honorable. Now, the world considers a lot of things to be highly esteemed, but in Luke 16:15, I'm not going to turn there, but in Luke 16:15, our Lord said, "That which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God." I present to you that which is precious, the Lord Jesus Christ. There are several other verses that I considered trying to bring in, and I just want to read them to talk to you about the preciousness of Christ. Some things to think about. I've been thinking about this all week long, and it hasn't come. It didn't come together like I wanted it to. So I got up. I actually pulled out an old outline that I had preached on years ago, and adapted it. But listen, Psalm 34:8 says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him." That's kind of like our 2 Peter there, verses 2 and 3. "As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious." Now I like to eat. It's pretty evident that I like to eat. And I like to eat good food. And even after I am full, I still like the taste of food in my mouth. It's good. I like it. But I'm going to tell you, have you ever tasted something that is better than food? That being the Lord Jesus Christ. Tasted Christ. What do you mean, taste Christ? I mean, have you brought Him into your soul and relished the sweetness, the beauty, the comfort, the consolation, the wisdom, the power, the majesty, the dominion, and the list could go on of who Christ is. Oh, taste and see, the psalmist said, that the Lord is good. 1 Peter 1:19 says, "But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." The world today, the modern world, hates a bloody religion. But the Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. The blood of Jesus Christ is precious. It's precious. You know, you get blood on wood, it'll rot it. You get blood on metal, and if you don't get it off, it'll rust it. And it'll wear it away. But this blood of the Lord Jesus Christ takes a black sinner and makes him white as snow. Amen. That's precious. That's precious. To think, the only redemption that there is in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And I'm here to confess that He took my black sins. Talking to one this morning that made we'd never met before, and he gave my confession. Before the Lord turned him around, he was happy in his sins. I was too. I wasn't seeking the Lord. I didn't care for the Lord. Now, sure didn't care for the doctrine that I'm preaching now. I wasn't seeking Him, but He found me, as He did with old Jacob, in a waste, howling wilderness. And unto me, them less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. Unsearchable riches. Can you imagine coming upon a pile of precious gems and gold and silver, and it's just so much you can't even count it? You can't search out the depth of it. The unsearchable riches of Christ. The preciousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is precious. The precious blood of Christ. Psalm 2 says, "Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him." Kiss the Son. Bow to his feet. Reverence him. Do you know of the sweetness of Christ? Do you know of the preciousness of Christ? You know, beloved, I can't give that to you. I can talk about it. I can preach about it. I can pray for you. I can weep for you. There's no way that I can give you what I'm talking about. Only God must give it to you. Only the Lord can give it to you. Today, many people will present themselves in a religious exercise, since it is a holiday time. It's one of those two or three times that they darken church building doors. A lot of people will give lip service and centered around Easter bunnies and chickens that have nothing to do with Christ Jesus. It's based around the pagan Ashtar. By the way, the word Easter in your Bible should be translated Passover. It was put there wrongly. I won't go into that. Easter is from Ashtar, the sex goddess. But people will get caught up in all of that, and they'll talk about how precious it is. And some will have dress up for the occasion and think that's precious. But I tell you, the preciousness is found in Jesus Christ. Regardless of the denomination or religious ideology, one is to be pitied unless he knows of Christ and the preciousness of his being. The preciousness of his being. You see, while it is proper to consider the preciousness of Christ, of what he has done for the believer does not consider the preciousness of Christ so much as what he has done for him, but he considers the preciousness of Christ for who he is. See, we want to seek the giver, not the gift. We want to seek the benefactor, not the benefits. It is Christ. It is Christ. It is Christ. First of all, I would like for us to look at a few verses that speaks of Christ and Him being precious to the Father. Christ, precious to the Father. He was and is an honor to the Father and precious to the Father. Look in our text again. Verse 4. Verse 4. To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Now I know, and I believe you know and understand, that Jesus Christ was God. No man can comprehend the Trinity. No man can explain the Trinity. In fact, no man can comprehend God. If I could comprehend God, He wouldn't be God because He would be limited. He would fit within the confines of my thinking. But God cannot fit into the confines of my thinking. He's infinite. There's no limit. There's no bounds to God. He didn't begin. He always has been. You can't explain that. You can't comprehend that. He's God. He's God. No more than you can comprehend the Trinity. People say, well, if I can't comprehend it, I won't believe it. Well, that's too bad. Someday they'll know it. But the thing about it is, Jesus Christ was the second person of the Trinity, but He took an official capacity. He took an office. And as Son, the Son is subject to the Father. And I don't want to get into the what theologians call the hypostatic union of Christ, that He was God and that He was divine nature and human nature and so on and so forth. But the Scripture says that He was precious to the Father. Precious to the Father. Verse 6. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scriptures, behold, I lay in Sion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. The Word of God says that God put a precious stone upon the earth. A living stone, not a dead stone. Jesus Christ, likened to a stone, He's put on the earth, and He's precious. He was precious to the Father. You remember at the baptismal scene, a voice came out of heaven, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Children like to hear that from their parents. You did a good job. I'm pleased in what you've done. The Father was pleased in the precious Christ that He chose and sent to redeem His people. Precious, honorable, in reputation. Jesus Christ is precious. Look in John chapter 1. I know you know the verses. Turn and look at them. Simple, yet profound. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word, the Logos. What was Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ is God's message to man. This is what God said. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. This Word, Jesus Christ, that was precious, was made flesh, and grace and truth is confined in Him. The glory of the Father is in Jesus Christ. Philip, one of His apostles, said to Jesus, "Show us the Father. I'd like to see God." Have you ever thought, "Oh, if I could have been on the mountain with Moses, I wonder what it would have been like to see God." Well, Moses didn't see God in one sense. Oh, I know it says that he spoke to him face to face. But Moses said, Lord, I want to see your glory. And you can turn and read that later in Exodus 34. Lord said, I'll show you my glory. I'll be gracious to whom I'll be gracious. And I'll be merciful to whom I'll be merciful. That's my glory. That's my glory. And when Philip said to Jesus, show us the Father. If you just show us the Father, if you just show us God, that'll be enough. And what did he say? Philip, have I been so long with you and hast thou not known me? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Amen. Not with fleshly eyes, but with an eye of spirit. And if you've seen the Lord Jesus Christ and the preciousness of Christ, you've seen God. God. God revealed Himself to man in the person and in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's precious. 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 Jesus Christ is precious. Look at Proverbs chapter 8. Now, this chapter is talking about wisdom. And it's using wisdom in a personification. Now, you children, you see, even studying literature in English helps you in understanding the Bible. Personification is taking a thing and making it as a person. Now, this is talking about wisdom, but since 1 Corinthians chapter 1 tells us that Christ is our wisdom, I like the language of this and relating it to Christ Himself in Proverbs 8, verse 30. Then our wisdom, for our sake, Christ, was by Him as one brought up with Him. I was daily His delight, rejoicing always before Him. You know, people say, God was so lonely. He needed companionship. So He created the world and saved some folks that He might have some companions with Him. Beloved, Christ was daily His delight. He needed no companionship other than what He had in Himself in the triune God. Amen. You cannot find a passage that says that God was lonely and needed anything. But you can find verses that says He needs nothing. Even one of the Psalms says, if I were hungry, I wouldn't ask you. People think too much that God is like man. They have such a dim view of God. And people have such a dim view of Christ. But I tell you, He is precious. You may get tired of hearing that word, but I'm going to say it much. He is precious. If you don't go away with anything, you can go away with knowing one thing. He's precious. Someone mentioned something not long ago about some error that I made in my discourse. And that's all right. That don't bother me about that. I make plenty of them. But I thought, I wonder what else they caught. That might be the only thing they caught out of the whole discourse. But I can tell you this. I hope you catch this. Christ is precious. Christ is precious. He was precious to the Father. Precious to the Father. Daily His delight. Imagine, a poor example, but best I can come up with. Imagine a father who has a son, and as the son himself said when he was here on earth, I always do those things that please him. A father and a son, and they're so wrapped up in each other that the son always does exactly what the father wants. That father would be so pleased. Daily his delight. Christ was the daily delight of the Lord, of the Father in heaven. He was precious, elect, it says in our text. Turn to Isaiah 42. We believe in election, but I can tell you who the first elect was, Jesus Christ. And all the others were in Him. Isaiah 42. Behold my servant, whom I uphold, my elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. Notice this. God says, my servant, the one that he chose, and I don't have time to go into the exegesis of all of this and prove to you. Just read Isaiah chapter 40 through 66. And you'll find that it's full of this about Jesus Christ. He was the elect of God, and the Lord said, in whom my soul delights. Speaking as a man, that's all a man can understand is man language. And God condescended to speak as a man and said, my soul delights in my chosen one, my beloved Jesus Christ. Precious. Precious. Precious indeed. Let's read on about the one in whom the Father delights. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. What does he mean? He didn't come pronouncing himself to be somewhat. He didn't need signs of his evangelism campaigns. He didn't need public recognition. He didn't come announcing himself to be somewhat. A bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking fleck shall he not quench. What do you mean a bruised reed? The old scribes, when they would be writing with their reed, and the point kind of got dull, they just take that reed and, you know, it bent a little bit. That means it was bruised. It wasn't any good. So they just break it and throw it away and pick up another one. The Lord Jesus Christ didn't break broken vessels. He healed them. And sometimes a saint may get down to a smoking flack. Just a small ember burning. The Lord didn't snuff him out. But he blows upon the coals till it becomes a burning flame. He's precious. Verse 4, he shall not fail nor be discouraged. You don't hear that preached much. Oh, he's just so warning people. He shall not fail nor be discouraged till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. Thus saith God the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it and spirit to them that walk therein. No evolutionary gospel. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness. and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes. It didn't say he would try to open, did it? To open blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, to set them that sit in dark and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. How's he going to do that? I am the Lord. That is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. How's he going to do it? He is Jehovah. He is God. He is the Lord.
Amen.
He's precious. Behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. So what shall we do? Sing unto the Lord a new song, and His praise from the end of the earth, ye that go down to the sea and all that is therein, the isles and the inhabitants of the Lord, and the inhabitants thereof. Beloved, I present to you a Savior. Not a defeated Savior, but a successful Savior. It's precious. 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 He was precious in His life and in His obedience on this earth. We've already made reference to it in Matthew 3 and verse 17, where the Lord said at the baptism, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him." He was well pleased in Him at His baptism. But look at John 17. Matthew 17, I'm sorry. Matthew 17. Now, the Lord was on the Mount of Transfiguration, wherever that was. They told us when I was over there, it was around Mount Tabor, I don't know where it was, but wherever it was there. Matthew 17. This actually happened. "And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them. And His face did shine as the sun, and His raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias," that's Elijah, "talking with Him. There for a brief moment, you see the Lord in His glorified state, and you see Moses and Elijah resurrected for a short time, in their glorified state, talking to the Lord." Now, it doesn't say so here in Matthew, but in one of the other Gospels it does. You know what Peter, James, and John had done? They went to sleep. Can you imagine on such an occasion of being asleep? How many times have you determined to stay awake for a lengthy time in prayer and couldn't? You see, you can do nothing without God. But there was Christ, there was Moses, there was Elijah, and they were talking. Now, it doesn't tell us in Matthew, but in Luke it says they were talking about His decease, that He should accomplish in Jerusalem. But that Greek word decease is the Greek word exodus. You see, the second book of the Bible, Exodus, gets its name from the Septuagint rendering Exodus. You remember the Exodus? Not the movie. You remember the Exodus when the Lord brought His people out of captivity? Moses and Elijah And Jesus Christ was talking about Jesus bringing His people out of the captivity of sin when He died in Jerusalem some 2,000 years ago. That's what they were talking about, the death of Christ. You say, why did God do that? I can answer that. I don't know. Perfectly good answer. I don't know. But He did. And then all of a sudden, Peter and James and John, they woke up. What would you do if you woke up seeing the Lord glorified and Moses and Elijah, they're talking to Him? So how do they know there's Moses and Elijah? I can answer that. I don't know. But the Bible says so. And that's right. And Peter thought that the final age had come. And you know the final feast of the Jews was the Feast of Tabernacles, right? And he thought the tabernacle of God had come. He said, let's build 3 tabernacles. He had the right idea, just had the wrong string on the yo-yo. And then Moses and Elijah were gone. And the Lord said again, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. He said that in verse 5. Hear ye Him. Have you heard the Lord? Have you tasted the Lord? Have you kissed the Son? See, all of these words that the Bible talks about, the preciousness of Christ. I can tell you this, if you have ever tasted Christ, there is nothing in this world that will give you the joy, the peace, and the contentment that Christ gives. He was precious in His life and obedience on earth. He was precious in His death. Isaiah 53. He was precious in His death. What are we talking about? Christ being precious to the Father. Isaiah 53, verse 10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise Him. Jesus said, I come to do the will of my Father, which has sent me. It pleased the Lord to bruise Him. What are we talking about? We're talking about a perfect plan that God put in effect. He chose Christ, a precious stone. He gave Christ a precious stone. Christ was precious in His life on earth. He was precious in the death of Christ. Oh, I tell you, to the believer, the death of Christ was a mighty victory. It pleased the Lord to bruise Him. He hath put Him to grief. When thou shalt make His soul an offering for sin, He shall see His seed. He shall prolong His days. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in His hands. Or in His hand. Oh, I know that humanly speaking, the death of Christ was a travesty or injustice. I know all of that. But I am here to say that from God's standpoint, he was delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. When he was taken in by wicked hands and was crucified and slain, and it pleased the Lord to bruise him, that precious stone, that his people might go free.
Amen.
Everyone for whom he died, every believer in Christ, that stone is precious. He was precious in his resurrection and ascension. Turn to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. You see, they showed us two tombs when I went to Israel. One for the Catholics and one for the others. Geologists, archaeologists, theologians, they may argue about which one is right, but I'm here to tell you both of them were empty. And one of them looks more right to me than the other. But I'm here to tell you that Jesus Christ, though he pleased the Lord to bruise him, and the pleasure of the Lord prospered in his hands, Jesus Christ came forth out of the grave. There is a man in heaven. There is a man in heaven. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And to the believer, he's precious. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Now, God did a pretty unique thing there on that day. And some people wanted to know what it was all about. Peter said, beginning in verse 29, "Men and brethren, let me speak freely unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. And what they showed me over there in 1972 said, that's David's sepulcher. And he's in there." Now, whether it was or not, I don't know. They showed me Muhammad's sepulcher in Egypt, and he's in there. But Jesus Christ is alive.
Amen.
David, therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus whom they crucified, this same Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which ye now see and hear. You see, he ascended into glory. That was in Acts chapter 1. His resurrection and his ascension was precious. And he's precious to the Father right now. Turn to John 17. John chapter 17. This is Jesus' prayer . I begin at verse 1. "These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh." Notice that verse, by the way. "As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him."
Amen.
What is life eternal? Do I have life eternal? What is it? And this is life eternal. Here it is. That they might know Thee, the only true God, in Jesus Christ whom Thou hast sent. If He's precious to you, you have eternal life. But here's what I wanted. I have glorified Thee on the earth. I have finished the work which Thou gavest me to do. Notice verse 5. And now, O Father, glorify Thou me with Thine own self, with the glory which I had with Thee before the world was. Give me back my glory. Glorify me with Thine own self that I had with Thee before the world was. He's got it. The preciousness of God. The fullness of God is found in Christ Jesus. I submit to you, He's precious to the Father. I run out of time before being precious to Himself and precious to the people. Though we've been sprinkling that in as we go along, Lord willing, we'll get to some of this later. And you know, the horrible thing is that so many times I know this in my head, but it doesn't grip my soul. But even in that, He's precious. Let's pray. Oh, Father, what can we say? We search for words. They seem so dull and flat, so empty, to try to speak of what the Lord Jesus Christ and who He really is. But I still recognize and know what we said earlier, O Father, I can't show this to anybody. And sometimes this glorious truth is so dull to my own soul. Forgive us. But thank You for continuing to love us. And thank You for not breaking the bruised reed, nor quenching the smoking flax. Oh God, blow upon our cold hearts that they might be ablaze to give glory and honor unto You as we live here below. Someday we shall praise You as we ought. Thank You. Thank You for being there. Thank You for Christ at Your side. Thank You for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Thank You for the precious Christ Jesus, our Lord and Master, in whom we pray. Amen.